Well, in this passage, the Lord wants his followers to know that if they are to be faithful followers of him, then they are to be peaceful servants of all the church. When someone becomes a Christian, they enter into the universal church, that is, the worldwide church, where every tribe, tongue, and nation worship the God that has saved them, as we read out this morning in the Apostolic Creed. But when that person is taken in or brought into the worldwide church, he becomes a servant to his fellow church member and to every church member. That's whether those fellow members are different to them theologically, or whether those fellow church members are weak in some regard. A person who becomes a Christian becomes a servant to the whole body of Christ. That's even if other Christians do things differently, or even unwisely, they are still servants to them. And in doing so, they follow their Lord Jesus Christ's footsteps, who did not come to serve, not to be served, but to serve. How important it is to follow that important principle. The disciples obviously needed to hear this fundamental lesson the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching them. Believe it or not, just after the Lord Jesus Christ had told them that he was going to die, in other words, be crucified and be taken away from them, that they have an argument amongst themselves, who's going to be the greatest? Can you believe it? That privileged 12 fight over themselves, who's going to be the greatest? And then they forbid a fellow servant of the Lord, as we'll see, from doing his work. You see, it was all about them and not remembering what their calling was. Their calling was to be a servant of the church and a servant of all. And so the Lord Jesus Christ corrects their pride emphatically. He says to every one of his followers, both here and us this evening, verse 35, if anyone desires to be first, then he should be last of all and servant of all. If people want to be first in the church, then they need to be a servant and a servant of all. There are three things that the Lord Jesus Christ calls his servants to do in this passage. First, they will need to receive even the weakest of believers. Secondly, they will need to encourage them in the work that they do for the Lord. And then thirdly, they will need to be at peace with all. So putting all these things together under the title of a peaceful servant of all, let us consider three points. First of all, receive all. Secondly, accept all work. And thirdly, be at peace with all. So first of all, receive all. The Lord Jesus Christ wants his followers to receive all who serve to seek him. Not just the ones who get it right all the time, but all those who seek to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're to be a follower of Jesus Christ, then we are to receive all who align themselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in this passage that the disciples stopped a man who was serving the Lord. Why? Because he was not one of them. Do you notice that? In verse 38, this man does not follow us. Doesn't follow us, so they stopped him. They forbade him from doing a service to God. But notice how the Lord Jesus Christ does not agree with them. The Lord Jesus Christ instead corrects this censorious behavior. The Lord Jesus Christ says in verse 39, "Do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me." You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is establishing a principle here which he wants the disciples to learn. What is that principle? Verse 40, he tells us graciously, "For he who is not against us is on our side." The Lord is saying, if a person is on our side, then we're to receive him. It goes without saying, I'm sure every single one of us knows this evening, that there are only two sides in this world. Those who are on the Lord's side and those who are against him. And the Lord is saying that we are to receive those, no matter who they are, on the Lord's side. Those who are doing things in his name. The disciples even recognize that this man, as we'll see, although he's being unwise in a certain regard, is still doing these things in the Lord's name. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ says this, "No one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterward speak evil of me." This man was doing good. He was a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, he was not one of the 12, but he was on the Lord's side. He was doing things in the name of Jesus. He was bearing his name publicly and working for him. And this is an important point for us to understand. And this is why the Lord widens the argument that he's making. He says in verse 41, whoever gives a cup of water to drink in my name, that person, not one of the 12, will by no means lose his reward. Do you see the lesson the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching his disciples here and also us this evening? We are to receive all who align themselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's even if they're weak. That's even if they don't get everything right. We are not to belittle them. We are not to discourage them in their work. They are on the Lord's side. They're doing the work for him. They are, after all, part of the universal body of Christ. And we should receive them. There should be a Catholicity about us. What I mean by that is we should receive those who are not in our denomination, who are not in our church circles. No matter what church or denomination people come from, no matter what their background is, we are to receive them as one who is in the universal church. We are not to ask people to jump through theological hoops before we receive them. Now, perhaps you're getting worried. What I'm not saying is that we are to receive false teaching, or that we are to set aside important doctrinal teaching. I'm not saying that. And those are for another day. And of course, we're not to receive those who do these things. But the overriding principle of this passage, holding these things alongside, is that we are to receive all, even the least of the true saints. Think how tenderly the Lord dealt with the weakest of his saints, who were all over the place at times, if we're honest. He never turned them away. He never discouraged them. The Lord was gentle with them. We thought last time how he was one who would not bruise a reed, a very gentle fact of nature, and a smoking flax he would not snuff out. This is the pattern that the Lord has given to his disciples and to us this evening. And the Lord wants to really lay this on thick. This is the longest point this evening, to establish this principle by giving them a vivid illustration of the pattern that he wanted his disciples to adopt. Do you remember in this passage, he brings a child into their midst. Why did the Lord do that? Well, back then, children were the lowest of society. It's almost the opposite in our own day. Children are put up on a pedestal and we almost bow down to them. But back then, children were the lowest of society. And Jesus is saying, you are to receive these low ones. Like a little child, you are to receive them. It says in verse 37, whoever receives one of these little children, an illustration of the little ones, the weakest of the church, in my name, receives me. Why a child? Well, children have many limitations. They may lack knowledge, and they can only do certain things. The Lord is saying that you are to receive such as those in the universal church and even in our own congregation. It's very clear that the disciples should have received this man, but they did not receive him. And it seems to be a problem that they will have. Only in the next chapter, they're forbidding children to come to him. But Jesus says we are to receive such. We are not to turn them away. But the Lord wants to go further, and my points get briefer as we go on. He doesn't just want to us to receive the weak. We are to encourage them in their work for the Lord. Secondly, we are to accept all the work done in their name. It was not that they were to receive this man only. They're also to encourage this man in the work that he was doing for the Lord. This man was doing things that were very similar to the 12 disciples. I don't know if you noticed that. At that time, the disciples, along with preaching, were also casting out demons. And this man is doing something very similar. He's casting out demons. But the Lord didn't want to stop this man, even though he's not one of the 12, because he was doing the work of the Lord. He was on the Lord's side. But look, the disciples forbid him, and the Lord was not pleased with him, to put it mildly, because the disciples had stumbled this man in his service to Christ. Well, we have to ask ourselves, why do we think this happened? Why did the disciples take that abrasive action? Well, this man was not one of them. He wasn't one of the 12. He did not follow them. This man was doing his own thing. This man was acting outside the perimeters that had been set by the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember, the Lord Jesus Christ had only commissioned 12 disciples in Mark chapter 3. If you want to look there later on, he commissioned only them to go out and preach, heal the sick, and cast out demons. But here this man, not one of the 12, is casting out demons. And in their eyes, the disciples' eyes, this man was doing something in a very disorderly manner. He hadn't been commissioned, and yet he's going ahead and doing it. And the disciples concluded that this man must be stopped and even forbidden for doing such. Well, does the Lord agree with what these disciples did? He emphatically does not agree with what they did. And that's perhaps surprising to us, if we're honest. I say surprising perhaps because we know what the Lord Jesus Christ is like. He is not someone who likes disorder. He uses ordained means. He doesn't want to encourage solo missions outside the perimeter of the local church. Soon enough, we'll see this instruction that the Lord Jesus Christ gives, which is very precise and very prescriptive. Remember, he sends his disciples in his authority at the end of Matthew to go out and to preach and to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. You can't get more precise and prescriptive than that. But the Lord Jesus Christ does not stop this man. Indeed, the Lord seeks to correct the disciples' behavior, which was censorious. The Lord Jesus Christ says in verse 39, "Do not forbid him." Why then does the Lord Jesus Christ not forbid this man? He is, if we're honest, acting out of order, isn't he? The Lord had forbidden others to speak in his ministry, hadn't he? We think about the demons who he said, "Be quiet." We think about the leper and the healed demoniac. He says, "Be quiet." And even in the last chapter, he had forbidden the disciples to speak. And I know there are reasons for that. But the Lord Jesus Christ has forbidden others to speak. But he doesn't forbid this man. But why? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ knows that this man is doing these things in the name of Christ. The man is doing these works in his name. And the Lord Jesus Christ says that smallest things done in his name will be accepted. Verse 41 says, "Whoever brings a cup of water will by no means lose his reward." A cup of water in my name. And here the Lord is teaching his disciples the importance of encouraging every saint in their work for the Lord. He doesn't want his disciples to be those who stumble, any of his saints, even if that saint is acting outside of what we would want to do. And the Lord goes on to say that that work done in his name will be accepted. He says in verse 49, did you notice that? That every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. And here the Lord Jesus Christ is referring to the Old Testament sacrifices, which were literally seasoned with salt to make it acceptable to God. And he's saying that every sacrifice made in the name of Christ will be accepted. Every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. It will be a pleasing aroma to God, to use the Old Testament language. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is saying that every work done in the name of the Christ will be accepted. Is this not remarkable? How comforting that is. How inspiring it is. Yet, it's also a warning to us as well, not to be like these disciples who stumbled this man in his work. The Lord emphasizes the sinfulness of this kind of stumbling behavior and warns his followers of any of the repercussions of stumbling another. You'd have seen that in verse 42. "Whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea." You can't get much stronger language than that. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to emphasize that we as disciples should treat one another well and not stumble them in their work for the Lord, no matter how small it seems in our eyes. And so the Lord pleads with his followers, if your hand or your foot or your eye causes you to sin in this way, rid yourselves of that practice, those thoughts, those actions that tend towards stumbling other people. He warns them in verse 50, if salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? So can you see the importance of this teaching? The Lord Jesus Christ is extremely clear. We are not to hinder or even belittle the work of any of his followers. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12, and here he's using the metaphor of the church being a body, a physical body, he says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honourable, on these will bestow greater honour." You see, the Lord wants his followers to be encouraged in their work for him. Finally, and even more briefly, the Lord expects even more of his followers. His followers are not simply to receive all in the name of Christ, are not merely to receive their work that's done in the name of Christ, but thirdly, we're to see that they are to have peace with one another. Lord Jesus Christ says in verse 50, "Have peace with one another." It goes without saying, you probably know it, that the Lord desires peace amongst his followers. Remember how the account started? That his disciples were disputing amongst themselves. They were forbidding this fellow believer in his work. This was far from peaceful. There was disharmony and disapproval of others who bear the name of Christ. But the Lord Jesus Christ is not pleased with that kind of thinking. The Lord Jesus Christ wanted them to be united, to be at peace with one another. Remember how he prayed in that high priestly prayer in John 17. "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you." Psalm 133, we read that out at the beginning. How good and how blessed it is when brothers dwell in unity. The Lord desires unity in his church, from the strongest, so-called, to the weakest, that they may be one. Now, we all know there are major theological differences with churches across the world, between us and them, that set us apart from other brothers and sisters, sadly. And I know these things are important. I'm not downplaying them, and you know them as well. And you can list many things. But the overriding principle that the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us this evening is that we have peace with one another. Blessed are the peacemakers. James exhorts us in his letter, as I come to a conclusion, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and are self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." And he finishes it with this: "But wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle." Now the fruits of righteousness is sown is peace, by those who make peace. So, I finish with what Jesus says in verse 50. We are to be at peace with one another. If we are to be followers, faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are to be peaceful servants, and peaceful servants of all who bear the name of Christ. Amen.